Psalm 50, 9 through 12. Psalm 50, 9 through 12. I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it.
Thank you, Christopher. I'm always grateful when I'm asked to give a sermon or a Wednesday night talk, but it always seems like a good idea at the time I'm asked. By the time I get to this point, I'm wondering, why am I here? But I appreciate it because I think most men that get up here and give a lesson will tell you that they learn more in preparing for that lesson then you're going to learn from what I tell you. I've learned more from preparing for it than I think I'm going to be able to pass on to you. It's hard to put the thoughts that you have into words and get it out to people so that they understand exactly what you're trying to say. So I always benefit more. But Christopher just read from us, and the Lord said, I don't have any need of your bulls. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything is mine. He told Job, when he was chastising Job for starting to whine a little bit, which I think it was okay. Job had been really hard-pressed, but he told Job, he says, everything in the world is mine. And it is. So he doesn't really need these sacrifices. They've been commanded. He expects them to be given. But he doesn't really have a need for them. The need is in the person giving the sacrifice. And so many times you will find in the scriptures that he is chastising the Israelites because they're focusing on giving the sacrifices, even to the point of counting out the little seeds and stuff and giving those sacrifices, but not focusing on what God wants from them. He said in one place, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. But we have to keep in mind those sacrifices are still required. You know, even in the beginning, while the world was still very young, Abel and Cain came and they gave their sacrifice. Now we don't know what the sacrifices were required. We don't know anything about it. But we can ascertain from the fact that Abel's sacrifice was pleasing and Cain's was not, that they knew what they were supposed to sacrifice and that they knew that they were supposed to sacrifice. But keep in mind, God didn't need those sacrifices. He says later in Psalm 50, about verse 23, he said, those who sacrifice thank offerings, honor me, and to the blameless I will show my salvation. From that I get the thank offering. I've always thought, you know, these are offerings that they're giving in thanksgiving to God for what he has given them. So when these thank offerings are offered and the heart is right, he's very pleased with them. You know, there are numerous scriptures about sacrifice and offerings to God, and we don't have time to read them now. But we know that they were required. We know that they were pleasing to God when offered with proper attitudes. And he often chastised them because they didn't have the right attitude. It's kind of like prayer. You know, God himself doesn't need our prayers, but they're pleasing to him and they're beneficial to us. So sometimes God requires things that are for our benefit. They're not for his. You know, and under the old law, we read that they were required to tithe. They were required to give the first tenth of their livestock, their crops. And if you keep reading, they're required to give a whole lot more than that tenth. You know, they talk about tithing, and that's required. But when you get down into it, there are sacrifices for sin, for thanksgiving, for wave offerings. There are many sacrifices that were required of the Israelites. When their heart wasn't right, they were reprimanded. But there's also a lot of times when they offered sacrifices and they were pleasing to God. One of them that sticks out in my mind is in Exodus 35. They were getting ready to build the tabernacle. And starting in verse 5 of Exodus 35, "From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece." Then in verse 29 it says, "All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do." And then you go into verse 3 of chapter 36. "They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary." And the "they" there is the tradesmen that were going to be doing the work, the people that God had blessed with the talent to do all the things to build this. "And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, 'The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done.' Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: 'No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary.' And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work." You know, God must have been very pleased with his people at that time because their hearts were right. And they were giving freely because they wanted to give. Can you imagine the elders standing up here and saying, "People, people, we've got enough. Will you quit giving?" I don't think it's going to happen, but that would be something. You know, but what stands out in this account to me is that God didn't tell them how much to bring. He just told them, "If you're willing, bring it and give it." And they did. Now, this is all under the old law. So now what about us? We're under the new law. And this, some of this was also under the patriarchs, not only under the old law. But as J.L. mentioned this scripture this morning in 1 Corinthians 16, "Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." We see that Paul tells us to give, but he doesn't tell us how much. That's to be based on our income, and we're the one that makes that decision. We're not told how much to give, but bear in mind, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, that money that Paul was talking about, that was to be taken up, given to the saints in Jerusalem. Because as you remember, the saints in Jerusalem were almost always struggling with monetary problems, it seems. I think that's probably because when you go back to the beginning, you had converts from all over that stayed in Jerusalem, and they had to be taken care of. The other thing that I see in that is that The money that we purpose to give, once we've put it in that plate there, we no longer have a concern over it. It's not ours anymore. It's God's. We gave it to Him through the church. The people that are responsible for distributing those funds, they're the ones that have to worry about it now. Once I've put my check or cash, whatever, in there, I don't worry about it anymore. It's gone. It's given to God, and He'll take care of it. You know, in Acts 4, we read that the brethren had everything in common. There was not a needy person among them. And we know the story of Barnabas, how he sold a piece of property, took all that money, laid it at the apostles' feet so that it could be used for those that needed it. And I've heard people give the mistaken idea then that Ananias and Sapphira were punished because they kept some of the money when they sold their property. They kept some of it, they didn't give it all. But that's not why they were punished. Peter told them, he said, when you owned that property, it was yours. When you sold that property, that money was at your disposal. You could do with it whatever you wanted to. But you lied. You told us you gave it all. So that's why they were punished. Not because they didn't give it all, but because they lied about it. There are many examples where we're not asked to give more than what we have. We're only asked to give what we have. But in Mark 12 and Luke 21, we read the story of the widow's mite. Jesus was watching people put their offerings in the whatever they had, plate, box. I don't know how they took up offerings then. But He's watching all these rich people come by, and they were putting in big amounts. But this little widow comes in. She put in her two mites, which was not very much money, but it was all she had. And so Jesus told His disciples that this woman gave more than all these others because they were given a little bit out of their abundance. She was giving everything she had. But then again, we are not commanded to give everything we have or what we don't have. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, Paul is exhorting the church to be givers. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And then drop down to verse 12, and he said, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what we have decided. Let me restart over. It's acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And then he continues in chapter 9, verse 7. He says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. What I take that to mean is that before Sunday, before I come to worship, I need to determine, I've made X amount of dollars, this is how much I'm going to give to the Lord, and I set it aside, and that's His. I'm not supposed to come and, as the plate's being passed, reach into my pocket and grab out whatever I can find in there and drop that in the plate and feel like I've done what the Lord has commanded me to do. So then, how do I make this application to myself, or you make it to yourself? I look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 8. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, the pattern of this world, and particularly in this country, I think, is let's fight and climb and let's get to the top, let's make as much money as we can, And it's our wealth, our fame, our social standing. That's what becomes important to us. And when it does that, that becomes an idol to us. Now, God has to have first place in our hearts. He wants us. And if we were to give everything that we had, but we didn't give him our heart, it wouldn't do us any good either. Then still in Romans 12, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." You know, some of us are more financially able to give than others. And that may be the gift that we have been blessed with. Maybe God has blessed me with a good income so that I can give. So if that's my gift, then I should give cheerfully and willingly. I shouldn't be reluctant. You know, I don't know how much anybody gives. I don't care to know how much anybody gives. What I wanted to do was I wanted to show that a giving is a part of our worship, as JL mentioned this morning. It is part of our worship service. It's required of us to give. It's up to us to decide whether we're giving the way God wants us to. You know, we know that God required the sacrifices in the patriarchal age. We know that He required them under the Moses given, or under the law given through Moses, and He still requires us to give. We don't sacrifice animals, but we should be sacrificing what we have been blessed with. I know this hasn't been a lesson to bring anybody to Christ, but we always offer the invitation. The baptistry is always ready. The elders are always ready. So at this time, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song, and if anybody has need, please come forward.